The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions for you about the Bible, current events, and what we hear in church on Sunday. And so if you've been sharing your faith, somebody's asked you a question, you've read your Bible, and something doesn't seem to be like a contradiction or something, please call us. That's why we like to get together every weekday at this time. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You're invited, and we got a couple lines open. So if you call right now, you're assured to get on. Joining me today, special guest, featured speaker from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, Honolulu, Daryl Skinner. And hi and welcome, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners. Great to be with you. I'm a little hoarse, but we're going to make it through the program. I seem to have lost my voice this week, but it is coming back now. And so I'm looking forward to the program, talking to all the folks out there with the great questions they have each and every day. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great joy. So good to be with you, Mike.
Amen. It's always fun to look at all these things that I think at times, you know, I talked to a couple of friends this past week that listens to CSN here on the Big Island. And they said, you know, it's really great because, you know, a lot of the questions people ask are things that I've always wanted to know about.
That's right.
As well. So I think it works for all of us, and certainly for us, that make us dig for those answers to give you the best answers we possibly can from God's word. And with that, we might as well go ahead and go to the phones. We have Rock on the line in Montana. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Rock.
Yes.
Montana. Yes. I've called you before, but I need a prayer for the whole world. See you. Yeah. I'm particularly praying about a friend of mine. I called and I missed it yesterday. No questions. I got the DVDs. You won't see them, but prayer requests for, I mean, particularly.
Well, we're only catching, Rock, about every third word you're saying, something with the wonderful phone line sometimes that does happen. And so maybe you can call us back on a different line, and maybe we'll get to your question. It would be better. Just call us back, and we'll put you through. You're guaranteed to get on today. But just call us back, and we'll do our very best to do that. Let's go to Stuart, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hello there. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
You can. I think you got my accent gave it away from Montana, huh?
Yeah, there we go. You must be from the English side of Montana.
I am down south.
Yeah.
So a question, it's something reference to yesterday. You were talking about the two witnesses.
Yes.
And I was just, I wanted to get your take on it, food for thought, but in Zechariah 4, it talks about two witnesses. It says two vines and a lampstand. And it seems it really smacks of Romans 11 and Revelation 1, where you've mm-hmm. got the natural vine and the wild vine. And then the lampstand's obviously the church, the seven churches. I was wondering what your take on that was.
Well, of course, we as Gentiles were grafted in to the whole plan of God. Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, you know, when we look at the scriptures here and we think about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, most people feel that possibly one is Elijah, of course, and then the other could be Moses. And so as we look to that, because The identification is really, we think it could be with the plagues that are instituted at that time during the tribulation by these two witnesses. And then you see the plagues in Revelation there with one of the witnesses is blood and so forth and things like that, waters and plagues, the plagues rather. And then also you find that the other witness is fire from heaven and so forth. So many believe these is Elijah, Moses. And it's interesting that when you read the passage that during the tribulation period, it says the whole world will see them. And then they're going to be killed in the streets of Jerusalem. And then they'll rise up 3 days later. God will resurrect their bodies. And it's even more fascinating is that the whole world will see them. And I think that's the power of God's word reflecting on what will be happening in 2021 or 2022 or 2023, whatever it might be, whenever that tribulation period happens, you know, real soon. And but we have all of our television, we have all of our internet, we have all these things, and the whole world will see this event take place. So again, it's the testimony of God's word, testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah, Mike, I'll toss it back to you if you want to jump on that.
Well, there is speculation that that is, in fact, referring to that. And again, as we talked about yesterday, some believe Moses, some believe, and I think a better choice, honestly, is Enoch. He walked with God and was taken. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. You have a person representing pre-flood. You have somebody in Elijah representing post-flood of the wickedness. Now, certainly, again, when you realize the judgment of God upon the world and the judgment of God upon the world when the flood came, you would have actually somebody that witnessed both. You would have somebody that would have witnessed the debauchery that went on before the flood in Enoch. And then in Elijah, we find that he is post-flood and was, I believe, very much aware of the things. And of course, you find him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Another reason why some people believe it possibly could be Moses is because of the Mount of Transfiguration. Both Enoch and Moses appeared to Jesus there. But again, the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And of course, Enoch and Elijah did not die a normal death. So this causes speculation for that as well. I do believe we find picture types of them through the entirety of Scripture because of the prevalent role they play during the tribulation period. Now, this isn't going to be some couple of prophets that no one knows about that appear in a back alley someplace. The whole world is going to see these. In fact, when the prophets are finally killed, the whole world, the Bible says, exchanged gifts with one another like we do at Christmas, saying the prophets are dead, the prophets are dead. Well, because of the power and the things that at their word would happen to this earth. Now, again, Revelation chapter 6 says that the people, because of how bad things are, cry out to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that is to come. It is interesting to me, rather than calling out to God, they call out to Mother Earth. And we find that prevalent today as well, calling out to the rocks and calling out to the mountains, all these different things, rather than calling out to God. Stuart, I hope that helps.
Yeah, there was just one point. You were saying that everyone will see them. And I've heard, yes. I think it was Assembly of Called Out Believers, which does have kind of a rabbinical kind of theme to it. But they were saying two peoples, not peoples rather than two persons. That's where I kind of got that from. The fact that the
I've heard teaching like that that's pretty heretical, saying that really it's the Jewish people is one of the prophets and the Gentiles is the other prophet. That is not what the chapter lends itself to in any way, shape, or form. It's very singular, and it says that they are finally killed and they lie dead in the streets of Jerusalem, and the whole world sees them. Now, with the event of satellite television, this is very much a reality. Up until the time, I believe, of wire communications, satellite television, They really didn't have any way to fulfill that prophecy. But when I was in Israel a couple decades ago, they had a bombing, and CNN was there. And one of the guys I was with, they pulled him off to the side and interviewed him on live CNN television around the world. Now, that was 20 years ago or thereabouts, and 15 years ago. And what was amazing is here this guy is speaking from the streets of Jerusalem, and the whole world is watching him. And so I really believe that up until the advent of satellite television, that would have been a pretty hard thing. There's no way somebody could have, you know, written on a piece of paper, the prophets laying dead in the streets, and then ran from village to village and then all around the world. It wouldn't have happened. But the Bible talks about everybody sees them, and any talk of trying to make these two prophets a group of people is adding to God's word and does a terrible injustice to the clarity of what we find there in Revelation. I hope that helps, Stuart.
All right, yeah, great.
Thank God you. Bless you. And again, if you read it, just read it, and in the Greek even, it's always referencing the two prophets as it addresses them singularly. It's not a group of people. And so that's another one of the heresies that are circulating around on the internet and other places. So you just got to be careful about that. But stay on the line, Stuart. Send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy with that. We'll go back. Let's see. We'll go to Moses in Salt Lake City. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How many
I
we
wanted
have?
To say. Oh, sorry. Yes, I just wanted to thank you because I called a couple days ago, and I was asking you about what is, you know, righteous judgment and what's evil judgment, and I was telling you that God was telling me that I needed to leave my church and go to another church. And you guys gave me great advice. You told me to have respect with the church and don't leave messy. And you were telling me to the way you leave a church is the way you enter another church. Well, I had a meeting with the leaders there, and I was just being honest with them. I was telling them, this is how I feel. I feel you're wrong about this. And I cannot believe it. But they asked if we could pray. And as we were praying, something broke over my mind, and I was shocked. I actually had a lying and a deceiving spirit that was lying to me, and I sincerely thought God was speaking to me. But I want to thank you because, you know, viewers call and ask you questions all the time, but if people actually take your advice and humble themselves, I could have really left the church and really messed up my life because I know God wanted me to stay there. So I don't know if you have any comments that's ever happened to you before, but I was like, I can't believe I was just so deceived. But thank God he helped me and he saved me, you know.
Well, no, and I believe this is why, again, if we practice Matthew 18, we go to somebody that we don't agree with, overtaken in a fault. We go to him privately and not causing a scene. But these people that throw hand grenades in the church as they go out and start their new club, the Bible says they'll get their reward. I don't care how successful even they've been. Maybe they pulled it off. But they didn't pull it off in God's book. And I always have believed that God will restore even the stolen stuff from our lives, from our ministries, in the great rewards of heaven. And the people that think they're getting these big rewards for a look at what we did, really, you built on another person's foundation. Paul said he wouldn't do that. And when you do that, I believe that the reward is going to go back to the person or the ministry that really started it. And so I think it's rather sad sometimes when you see this, because you can fool them all, but you're not going to fool God. You're not going to fool the Holy Spirit. And you find people as they leave a church throwing hand grenades inside, you know, doing everything they can do to blow it up or whatever, you know, turning the pews sideways and you know, ransacking the bathrooms. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I personally have seen. And I go, my goodness, if whatever you are, don't tell anybody you're a Christian, because you are really bringing a disservice to the kingdom of heaven. And I know that a lot of people, they clap and they have the accolades, but I'll tell you, on Judgment Day, God's going to restore back what the cankerworm has eaten. He's going to restore back to what really went on. And unfortunately, I believe we see a lot of hypocrisy that goes on. But Moses, concerning this that God has done with you, I think that's a good thing. That's why I tell everybody to pray, go follow what God's word says, and in the long run, you're always blessed. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah. You know, when we look at those that want to divide the body of Christ and the work that they get involved in, they always act like they know so much when actually they know so little. For pastors that are in the fray of everything, that are working with all the different ministries in the church, all the decisions that are being made, there'll always be people that'll come along, and they'll try to say, pastor doesn't know what he's talking about, the board doesn't know, and we know better, and they're going to try to divide off the church. And for all the believers out there in churches, beware of these people. The Bible calls them division makers. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and principalities of the air in the lower heavens, the forces of wickedness. And Satan will grab anybody, even a very good person, and inject a thought in their mind, and then spew it out of their mouth, and then it comes forth to the congregation. And we have to be careful. The Bible says that we're to submit to one another in the fear of God. The Bible says you're to respect those that are in authority. And if you ever have a question about what's going on in the church, or why'd you pick a certain color for the walls or the ceiling or something like that, go talk to the pastor. Go talk to the people that are doing the daily work of the ministry and so forth. And I think, as you did, Moses, God bless you, you did the right thing. And you realize that the direction you're going wasn't the right direction. And now the Lord has spoken to you. And, you know, Jesus prayed in John 17, his great high priestly prayer. He says, Father, make them one as we are one. And the yes. Bible says we're to walk in humility and lowliness and to be unified together as a body of believers. So that's so vitally important in the church congregation. If it's false doctrine, leave the church. If it's solid doctrine, but little menini, as they say in Hawaii, it's called menini things, small things. You don't want to get hung up on those things. Go for God and let's win souls, make disciples. Amen, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's important not lose track of why we're here, and that's Jesus. And I think Amen. We can get so caught up in so many other things. And as the Bible says, people heaping teachers unto themselves. I've just seen it over and over again. And they'll have their reward. So Moses, those of us again that have seen things and seen it wrong, thank God for his corrective, loving hand in our lives. Moses, Amen. Stay on line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Thank you.
Well, God bless you, Moses. Thanks so much for the call. And with that, we'll go to Ron in San Jose. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I have a question regarding, when the baby is created, when life is created, I understand that God is the only one who can give life. And when a baby is born and has cancer, I'm wondering, was that part of God's work? And this is not through, you know, through incest or anything like that. It's just a regular, you know, normal conception. And I'm wondering, when a baby is born with cancer, is that part of God's work in when he was creating that particular life in that womb?
Well, Ron, we live in a fallen world, and that's the big problem. God put man in a perfect place, perfect environment, perfect everything, and he refused to live there. God said, don't eat of the tree. Now, somebody have asked the question before, well, what kind of a good God would put in a bad tree in the garden? God didn't say the tree was bad for animals. God didn't say the tree was bad for insects. It just was bad for us to eat. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of stuff in a car shop that's bad for you. The boss can come up and say, you know, we have lacquer thinner here to thin the paint. Don't drink that lacquer thinner. It isn't that the boss is being mean. It's just that the boss is giving a warning. Now, again, everything the Bible says God saw in the garden was very good. But when man rebelled against God and wouldn't live and follow God's rules, something died within man, and we find the world have gone into corruption. And I believe this is why we find the weeds, and we find the diseases, and we find the cancers, and we find all the problems that befront man today is simply a direct result of man's rebellion to God. Now, that rebellion to God manifests in many different ways. It can manifest in diseases. It can manifest itself in death. But I believe, as an example, when you ask about a child or a baby, I do know this, that in a Christian's home, if a child goes to be with the Lord, it is because this is what God allowed to be. And it is a testimony for many other people. Everybody thinks they die when they get to be 100 years old. But when we realize that death can come, whether we're 6 months old, a year, 5 years, 10 years old, or on up, we have to be ready to meet him. That's why the Bible says, be able to open the door quickly when he calls. Because again, we don't want to be finding ourselves on the wrong place of what we're supposed to be doing. So I would just say that cancer and death is a direct result of man's rebellion. And even though we as Christians are born again, we still live in a fallen world, and we still have these bodies of corruption that someday will put on incorruption. Your thoughts, Daryl?
You know, the love of God is amazing, that he would send his own son to die a bloody death upon the cross for a bunch of rebellious, sinful people. And that always blows my mind more than anything else. When it comes to disease and, of course, the wickedness in our world, the crime, the death, all that's around us, I don't get angry with God. God has given his all to save us. I don't get upset with him whatsoever. I am always angry at the devil, though. You know, it's a holy anger because, you know, he's the one. He's the author of destruction. He's the author of death. He's the author of deception. And he's the one we all need to be mad at. And to get even with him, we follow Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and our Savior. I love the passage in Hebrews that says in chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's important for us to realize that disease and death and all that is part of the world we live in. But there's going to be a time where we'll be taken to paradise, to heaven, and that's when we're going to reach our perfection. And there's no more tears, there's no more sin, there's no more death, there's no more devil, there's no more disease, there's no more crime, there's no more wars, there's no starvation, none of it, none of it. And we will live forever and ever in that state and position with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the great assurance of hope that he's given us. So, you know, it breaks our hearts when we see a little one with cancer or any other disease that might happen. It just breaks our hearts. But we know who to get angry at. We know who to point the finger at. It's going to be the devil. And yes, it's going to be ourselves. And yet God says, I love you, and I'll die for you, and I'll save you, and I'm going to take you to heaven. I'm going to give you a glorified body, and you'll be with me forever and ever. And I almost want to say, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
So, Mike, I'll give it back to you.
No, I think that's very true. And I believe that, again, when we look at that, we have to realize how far we have fallen. Paul tells us, he said, all of creation groans under the sin of man. So, you know, you see the winners, you see the tidal waves, you see all these different things that are a direct result of man's rejection of God. Ron, hope that helps.
It does. So thanks for the responses.
Ron, God bless you. If you like, stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, God of Wonders, as well as Evolution Versus God. We also have a little book called Time to Grow and 101 Last Days Prophecies. I think you'll enjoy. Let's go ahead and go to Joey, Wisconsin. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Jody. Mike, I so appreciate what you've done over the years. We've listened here at our house. I'm a homeschooling mom. I have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, wow. And the Lord's really blessed us to be able to homeschool them. Ironically, my husband and I work part-time at a library, and he works in the public sector as a technical instructor at one of the community colleges here. And I will tell you that we listen to you all the time, and the encouragement that we get from you is just wonderful, because it brings us back to the Bible and brings us back to what you were saying before, the hope that we have. It's not just for a good life here. It's for our relationship with him in eternity. And we are just so blessed to have had you and the pastors and Shannon speak into our lives over the years. And I do just ask for prayer for these young ones as we approach this time that is seems unprecedented, but nothing has escaped our Lord's knowledge, so he knows. But I want to just appreciate all the apologetics that you have put forward over the years. My son in particular really benefits from listening and growing and just being strong in defending his faith with others because of what he's heard, also what we dig into here, homeschooling these kids. So I just appreciate you and appreciate the work that you've done for his kingdom, and I just, God bless you.
Well, to God be the glory. It's because of him we get anything done. And so those flowers all just go to Jesus. So, yeah, Jody, I'm glad you listen. I'm glad the Lord's ministered to you through CSN. And I want to thank all of those, not only Jesus, but I want to thank all of those who support CSN and help us make our tower rents and do all those things. You know, a lot of Christian stations, they have begathons almost once a month, and we don't do that. We just want to let people know that, yeah, there's needs here, but, you know, we don't want to embarrass our Lord by putting Jesus in the bread line, but we want to let people know that freely we've received, freely give, and I thank God for all those sharing that vision. Great is all of your rewards in heaven. Jody, we'll come back to you after the break. We are on that break, and we'll have more Every Man Answer right after this.
Have you always wanted to finish your degree, but you could never afford it or find the time? Well, here's some great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering students and ministry leaders a $12,000 scholarship. With this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is the most affordable, fully accredited Christian online university in the United States, and it's 100% online, so you can study wherever and whenever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's and master's degrees in biblical counseling, Christian education, and several other fields. And with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig and David Guzik involved, you can be sure you're getting a quality education. This scholarship is available for a limited time, so apply now. Find out more at calvarychapeluniversity.com. That's calvarychapeluniversity.com. Apply today.
You're listening to the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Dakota. You can listen while in Rapid City, Aberdeen, Hermosa, Dickinson, and Williston. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
Bringing you worship music that exalts the Lord. Words and lyrics that lift up His name. Reach to me, trust in the Lord, be set apart. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. Trust in the Lord. Heavenly sounds of praise to the King. Right here on the Christian Satellite Network.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And we're going to go back to, well, we can't. We missed the Loster over the break. For Jody, you know, it's great to hear that your husband is a Christian college professor. We don't hear about very many of those in the schools now. And so I think that's a really, really good thing that you're about. But if there's more there, please call us back and we'll do our very best to get to your question. And with that, we'll go to Lynn in Belmont, California. Beaumont, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Oh, hi. So I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, and she was telling me that she believes in astral projection. I'm not sure if you're familiar mm-hmm. with that.
Yes.
But she believes that witches and the like can go into birds, owls, and frogs, and they can come after you even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. She and that their spirit can leave their body and roam around. And she, I asked her, where, I don't know how that lines up with scripture. And she uses 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4 as proof with Paul is speaking about as proof that this is true. And then kind of in that same category, she believes that one, even though they are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, that they can still be possessed. And I tried to tell her, I know we can be oppressed, we can be attacked, but, darkness can't live where light is and so forth. And I kind of just stopped the conversation before it became a debate. And I would just like to get your thoughts on these two things.
Well, first of all, Satan is a liar and has been from the beginning. Jesus said he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. The Bible says he's the father of all lies and he's the great deceiver. So, of course, people that are dabbling in that world are going to say that, oh, no, even a spirit-filled Christian has no power over a possessed creature or whatever. I do not believe that witches can possess frogs or whatever. I don't believe that. When you find them making such claims as that, and even the proof text that you referred to, I believe you said 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. Was that what you quoted, Lynn?
It was either 1 or 2 Corinthians, but it was chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. And I apologize, I don't remember if it was 1 or 2 Corinthians.
Well, if you actually read that, it would be proof text to show how bogus what she's saying is. That really it talks about the different gifts of the Spirit. It talks about you were carried away by these dumb idols, meaning that they could not speak or hear or respond. If that's her proof text, she just blew her whole argument up. So you want to remember that a lot of times people will quote a Bible a chapter or verse, not even really knowing what the verse says, to somehow, well, I mentioned the Bible and that gives my argument credibility. But if you read her proof text, it ain't there. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, she needs to really get rid of the witchcraft and the astral projection and the New Age thought. I know when I first got saved, I had been into practicing the New Age. I was into transcendental meditation. I thought, oh, okay, I'll just meditate and chant the name of Jesus, And someone grabbed me real quick I was a brand new Christian. And just a couple of weeks in the Lord trying to figure it all out. And they say, oh, no, you can't do that. That's it. When Bible talks about meditate, you're thinking about the Lord and all these things. You're not chanting, you're not channeling, you're not doing any of those things that you once learned in transcendental meditation and New Age thought. And you have to get that old life needs to be done away with. As Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. He also writes, we're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Take the word of God and let it feed you. Let it teach you. From Genesis to Revelation, get into the Gospels, find out the life of Christ. and so forth. And even if she was also quoting from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that is the event where Paul writes about when he was basically in the book of Acts, he was stoned to death and he was caught up to the third heaven and he heard things that were inexpressible, the Bible says, and then he was allowed to go back into his body. So that wasn't an astral projection. That was a near-death experience. And he died and came back because God wasn't done with him yet. And so he had more work to do in and through his life. It's like, you know, you look at Jesus raising Lazarus or Jairus' daughter or the widow's son. That God had more to do, and then ultimately they'll be taken to heaven and so forth. But it's not projecting yourself someplace across the planet or into the heavens of the universe. So it's important for us as believers in Christ to get rid of all this garbage, this foolishness we've picked up in the ways of the world, and we just read the Bible for what it says. Take it literally, look at the life of Christ. How did he deal with each individual, each situation? So have sound doctrine. What did Jesus teach and practice? What do we see in the book of Acts, and what are our instructions in the epistles? Then we have sound biblical doctrine. That's what we follow. So it sounds like she either needs to be educated or possibly completely born again. I'm not sure which, but the Spirit of God will give you that discernment. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Yes. And you did hit the nail on the head with, yes, it was 2 Corinthians and being caught up in or out of the body. And so, yes, I'm glad you said that. That really made it clear and something that I can discuss with her. So, yes, thank you.
And I'm sorry, Glenn, I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So that's why that was that way. But either way, it's not unusual for people in the occult. Even Satan quoted scripture to Jesus when he was on the Mount of Temptation after he had fasted for 40 days. He said, "Cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written," and he quotes out of Psalms, "for the angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." It's interesting that there you find Satan quoting scripture to Jesus. So remember, he's the great liar, the great distorter, and when somebody has a near-death experience, as Paul did, that is not talking about astral projection or something like that. So hope that helps, Lynn.
Yes, very much. May I just ask one quick question?
Sure.
Do I have time? Okay. She did mention of a personal experience. She said that she knew things like this were true because she actually had someone who she knew who claimed to be a witch come after her. And she said that she felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her, this is this woman who claims to be a witch. And she felt like she was being suffocated until she prayed it off of her. So, but I would assume that that would be a demonic attack, not necessarily a woman being a witch coming at her from a
cross. Right, right. I think that that's, you know, and again, when you're listening, you know, when you talk to people, they begin to share their experience and put their experience above God's word. And that's where there's a problem, because there's a lot of things that can influence our feelings, our thoughts, our dreams, all these different things. And so we have to be very careful, because people then begin to believe more in their dreams and their experiences more than God's word. And there's a danger there. Now, Lynn, real quick, I got a real fast question for you off the subject. Are you able to listen to CSN on the radio there in Beaumont?
Oh, yes. In fact, I'm off at 3. So as soon as I get in my car, it's the first thing I do is turn it on.
What frequency do you listen to us there?
88.1.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad.
I'm sorry. I don't know the call letters.
No, that's fine. I'm just glad you're listening, and that's good. And then if you're in San Bernardino Riverside, I believe you can hear us on 102.9, I believe it is. So, anyway, glad you're listening. Lynn, stay online, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs that perhaps you can pass along to her to help her get out of the nightmare she's in. Stay online, we'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Ruben, Santa Maria, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike. Hi. My question is there a proper way to get baptized, you know, like in the name of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, or in Jesus' name? That was a question that I had. It's been a while since I studied that. I need to get into my word. But I was just wondering if you could kind of direct me what scriptures I could look up.
Well, yeah, in the name of means by the authority of, and it's by God's authority we baptize anybody. If you're in a bank, some guy is in there robbing a bank and a plainclothes guy walks in and sees the robbery, he may yell, "Drop your gun, stop in the name of the law." Well, in the name of means by the authority of the law, you're robbing a bank, that's illegal, drop your gun. In the name of means by the authority of. And I've seen people, and you got to be real careful because there's a group of people called Jesus only doctrine. They don't believe in the Heavenly Father. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in just Jesus only because they say that Father is not a name and Holy Spirit is not a name. However, they're very, very wrong on that. And they claim there's just Jesus only. Well, it's because they don't read the entirety of God's word. And whether you're looking at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for God there is literally God's. It's the word Elohim. And who Elohim is discussed in the rest of the Bible. It's not Buddha, Zeus, or, some other, prophet or whatever. No, the Bible tells us who this Elohim is, and we were created in his image. We're a triune being as well. Now, the reason why that's important is because when you get to 1 John 2:22, it says, "He that denies the Father and the Son hath the spirit of Antichrist." Pretty serious indictment against those that claim there is no Heavenly Father, that there is no Holy Spirit. John, the beloved disciple, said, If you say there is no Father and there is no Son, you've got the spirit of Antichrist. Pretty serious. So I have baptized people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have baptized people in Jesus' name because it's in his name we baptize anybody. It's by the authority of God we baptize at all. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, as we looked at the scriptures, we just looked at what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's pretty plain for all to understand how we're to baptize someone. Jesus also said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So when we baptize people as born-again Christians, we want to baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, there is a group called the Boston Church of Christ, Los Angeles Church of Christ. They usually put the city and then it comes of Church of Christ. This isn't all Church of Christ churches, but they usually put the city in front of the Church of Christ name. And they'll say, "You can only be saved if you're baptized in our church and in Jesus' name only." And maybe you've come across them, my friend. But that's not a truth. The body of Christ is much bigger than that one church. And also, Jesus told us how to baptize. As Mike said, you have the Elohim and back there in Genesis, also in Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema prayer, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Hebrew word is echad, and it speaks of a compound unity, speaking of the Trinity. And of course, you see the Trinity all through the scriptures. Jesus wasn't praying to himself when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." He's praying to the Father. And when he says, "I'm going to send another helper to you," it's the Holy Spirit. And that's what we receive. We have the Holy Spirit of God. So we see the Trinity all through the scriptures, contrary to Mormon belief or Jehovah's Witness belief or the one God theory. And so, it'd be one person Jesus theory, only. If you will, Jesus only theory. And so we just need to read the Bible. It's simple as that. So, Mike, I'll hand it back to you.
Hope that helps. And once again, we just want to encourage you to continue to read your Bible, Reuben. And Taylor, and just Reuben, and just let God do what he wants to do. Hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Reuben, stay on the line if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy that bring perhaps a little more clarity to this, and I think you'll enjoy that. Stay in line, and we'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Taylor, in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Hi. Well, I called you pastors a few weeks ago and asked what where I should start reading in the Bible, and you both said the book of John. Thank you both for that. I am now to the book of Luke. But my question was, and I've looked it up, and I cannot find an answer. Who is the disciple that Jesus loved? So it says no name, just the disciple that Jesus loved.
That would be John. Now, it isn't that God, it isn't that Jesus didn't love the other disciples just as much. It's that John recognized that great love that Jesus had for him. And I pray that everybody listening today, we realize the great love that God has for us. I don't believe God has favorites. I believe that though our understanding of God, though, can be off when we don't know his word. The more we know God, the more we'll trust God. The more we know God, the more we'll love God. So I believe that that love that John recognized that Jesus had for him was for everyone and anyone that would be called by his name. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, John is known as John the Beloved. And you'll find that when he writes, whether it be the gospel or his epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, of course, he also wrote the book of Revelation, but you just really discover how important it is for all of us to know how much we are loved. He calls us beloved children and so forth. And it's a beautiful thing to see each of these gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how they display, if you will, the Lord and the character of God for all of us. Matthew, from the Hebrew perspective, dealing with a lot of prophecy. And then you have Dr. Luke dealing with the Greek mind and that wisdom and understanding and all the details that a doctor would be into as he describes the life of Christ. Mark, written for the Roman environment and understanding, is very quick-paced as the Romans were, and also presenting Jesus as a servant of man. And then John, you get just the love of God. You know, you see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And you see so many other passages that are so beautiful in John's gospel. And he displays the deity of Jesus Christ, known as the universal gospel. And so you see these differences, and I love it because you realize it's not just a cookie cutter gospel. You know, they all exactly said the same thing. No, this is God ministering through different individuals for our benefit with the same person that's displayed for us, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and the great love of God. So hopefully that helps. Mike?
Hopefully that does help.
Yes, you guys, thank you so much. Thank you for all your help. Thank you for helping me get my life back on track.
Well, dear, God is good, and God loves you and wants you to,
yes,
to do well with him. And so, now, Taylor, did I send you out the DVDs and the books yet?
Yes, you did, and they have been quite a blessing to my home. Thank you.
Well, good, Taylor, and use those and use them for evangelism. And Taylor, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'd like to tell people about Jesus, but I don't know the Bible that well. Well, but you do know one thing. You know what God has done for you, and that you do share. And that's a great thing, Taylor. So glad the Lord is working in your life, strengthening you. Father, may you just continue to pour your bucket of golden love all over Taylor and Amen. Let her know how much you love her and how much you're going to do great things in her life each and every day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Taylor, we'll be praying for you. And if you need anything, let us know, okay?
Awesome. God bless you guys.
Blessings to you. Let's go to James in Maryland. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Hi, thank you for entertaining my question. So my question had to do with the genealogy of Jesus. Why is it different in Matthew and Luke? And it's kind of important to me because I begin from a position of the Bible is literal and true and unerring, and nothing is in the Bible unless it is important.
Yes. So, well, in the book of Matthew, you have the genealogy of Jesus from Joseph's side, and then you have the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Luke from Mary's side. Now, you say, well, why is that important? Because first of all, to be our Savior, he had to be the blood lineage of the tribe of Judah, and he had to have that pure blood, if you will. Now, when we deal with Joseph, it was not uncommon for an adopted son to be able to inherit the father's role. And from that, you find the kingly side of Jesus. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, in Luke's gospel, you have the genealogy of Mary. And that's where you find that he was conceived in Mary, and you have the bloodline, both going back through David and so forth. So you see that through each one, Joseph and Mary, even though Joseph wasn't physically involved in the conception of Jesus, but each one has that bloodline that leads those through those genealogies of which the Messiah must come. And this is the complete accuracy and the facts of our faith that we find throughout the scriptures. So that's why you have the two different genealogies. One's Mary and Luke, and the other is Joseph and Matthew. And that's God's design is always perfect. He covers all the bases for all things, even though Joseph wasn't physically involved with Mary at that time. Later on, he did. The Bible says they had the sons and daughters and so forth. So it's very exciting. Mike?
James, hope that helps.
Oh, a lot. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't pick up that Luke was going through Mary. So thank you so much for that. Bless you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Blessings. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Teal, I believe it is. Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you, Pastor, so much for your ministry. Me and my children listen to you guys every single day on our way home from school, and we live pretty far, so it's been such a blessing. My question is from Ephesians 4:9, about Jesus going down into the depths of hell and then ascending, and if the Apostles' Creed is taking that scripture to recite that in the Apostles' Creed. And can you explain to me what your take is on that?
Okay. Daryl, your thoughts.
Well, Jesus dies on the cross, and then his body is in the tomb. And when Paul writes he descended, he went to Hades, which was the place that he talked about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, where Hades was a place of torment for the non-believers, but a place of comfort for the believers. They went to Abraham's bosom. And we read about, Jesus gives the historical event where the poor beggar Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. He had faith in God and the Messiah to come. And then there was the rich man who died and went to a place of torment. The Bible also says that Jesus went there, probably preached to them and shared with them that he is the Messiah they've been looking for. And then also we find that the Bible says he also preached to the angel. According to Peter, he preached to the angels that had fallen and were held in Tartarus, another place of holding until the final judgment at the great white throne, where all angels and non-believers will be cast to the lake of fire, which we usually term as hell. And so Jesus preached to them also, saying, I'm the one that you have been rebelling against, and I'm the Savior. So he preached to those fallen spirits, those fallen angels that came against God during the time of Noah's day. And so it's very fascinating. But so we realize that Jesus was busy, if you will, during those 3 days as he died on the cross and he rose from the tomb on Sunday. So, Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, hope that helps.
That helps. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
What scripturally, what's the take on vasectomies and tube tying and things like of that nature?
Okay, your thoughts, Joe.
Well, I think it's something you got to pray about and seek the Lord over if that's what he wants you to do or not. It could be for a medical reason, a health reason. But the Lord has told us to come together and unite together as a husband and wife, and it'll be your personal decision what you want to do in regards to that. Some people can say, no, you should never do that. Others say, well, you know, we feel like we're done and so forth. That's something you got to take to prayer. And that's a personal decision, I believe. Mike?
Yeah, and I think it also has to be in agreement with both parties, too.
Yes.
And not lay some kind of a spiritual trip on one another either way, you know. But I think that would be a very important part to have in agreement with each other. Tila, stay in line. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs for you and your family. I think you'll really enjoy them. Great for evangelism. And we're out of time with Jay. Call us back tomorrow. Once again, want to remind you, Victor Marks will be at the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday at 10 o'clock, 10:30 on the radio, Mountain Time. And Victor Marks got an incredible ministry. Daryl, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you. God bless.
We'll be back. God bless you.
This ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.